juice?
No, I don't. Like, that dude's obviously juicing, man.
That's it.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and upload it to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rio, I mean, Deranged Penguin Podcast. Episode 178. And, man, I've just been filling this week up with my favorite events, the track events at the Olympic Games.
And filling your head with delusions.
Well, I mean, I know I can smoke all these slow fools out there, tripping over hurdles and whatnot. Man.
Oh,
put
man.
Me on the track. Yeah. Give me
some
spikes.
Is that a real thing that has happened?
Give me some spikes.
He's been saying it a lot. He thinks he can dive. He thinks
fast. I did say that diving is stupid. Like, I watch it, sat down and watch it.
You said you could do it.
I mean, I dive.
Easy. You said you'd kill it. Just repeating what I heard.
I don't understand how they scored it. It all looks exactly the same to me.
I know.
You know, we didn't put in here, but I think it's a good article that everybody should read. Is this Joe Posnanski article?
Yeah, that one was good.
And he basically talks about the gist of it is that, you know, you watch these Olympic Games and you see people do all these incredible feats. Because they are. They're just like, you know, like, you see the guys coming in fifth in the 200 meters, and you're like, oh, look at this slow dude. But then, you know, he runs in 22 seconds, which is ridiculously fast. You know what I mean? This is like the elite of the elite. And then, you know, you realize how incredible they are. And I think he says one of the things he says about diving, I think, like that. And at a certain point, you kind of just you become one of the people, like, very, the very human thing. I'm stumbling over this.
This is not a good summary of the article.
Six. Give me a six.
I'm not sure what the article is about.
Podcast.
It's an article?
He basically says, like, yeah, you know what? We're all human, and even though we see all this amazing stuff, we're not good at keeping it in perspective. And at a certain point, we say, eh.
We can't be endlessly amazed.
Yeah. Like, man, that's amazing.
You also can't even perceive the amazingness of it at some point, right?
Yeah.
It's like anything, like refining your palate so that you can taste nuances of flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why, I mean, I like, you know, like in a sport, I like soccer, right? I like going out and playing, and I like watch. I try to watch it whenever I can, in live, in person, because it really does help you appreciate when you watch the Premier League teams play. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, you can kind of get into this, I guess, bad habit of watching these amazing dudes play soccer and like, oh, these guys are shit. They can't defend, worth of shit. And I saw a lot of this because Arsenal lost 4-3 this weekend in the opener. And, you know, I think I get it, but at the same time, like, you know, you kind of ruin the whole, the pleasure of watching this amazing stuff. When
at some point we all just turn to criticism instead of just marveling.
So that said, everybody calibrated perspective now. Man, diving is boring as fuck.
Lame.
I don't really get that. I don't get the trampoline one. Like, is it impressive? Is it a spectacle? Yes. Again, this is a kind of a continuation of last week. And you know, like, just more follow up on it. What did I say? Last week I was kind of laying out how I do the Olympics. I get
you
rid of all the
said
questions.
Nothing in the Olympics is a sport and shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
Or I watched a lot of stuff.
I think you cut everything except for running.
Yeah, basically.
Track and field.
Track and field. That's really all you need, you know? swimming.
So but mostly track, a little less field.
I saw an article about like the origins of swimming, like the different styles of swimming derived from the fact that the British were just basically, you know, snooty, as British people are, I guess. And they're like, the freestyle swimming looks too gross, and the breaststroke is the preferred stroke. And so then that's why you have two different events, which is dumb. Right. Yeah, so anyway.
That makes sense. I believe that's
and stupid, and that's why I think, like, track is dumb. Imagine if they did, all right, the 100-meter dash, but in skipping. Ready, go. And then you're just like, why don't you just run? Run. Like, no, because that looks too, you know, common. Do it the posh way. Skip 100-meter. Right. It's stupid. Also dumb, the steeplechase.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week.
Yeah, it's still
dumb. You went on.
It's still
a pretty good amount.
Still dumb.
Yeah, we watched it again. Gina, was it dumb this time again?
It was even dumber knowing what the event derived from, like in Ireland or whatever, and they were actually running through villages and jumping over stone walls and crossing streams. I'm like, okay, makes sense. That stuff was naturally occurring in the environment they were running in, but to go and make it on a track just to recreate it is... What's the point?
It's silly. Yeah. It's what it is. So what have been your favorite events that, you know, maybe you saw this week?
I kind of forgot that the Olympics were going on. I actually saw somebody watching it tonight. It's like, oh, it's been on for like a year, hasn't it? It sounded good. Like, but I watched some diving the last day of my trip in Texas, and that's when I was like, I mean, all looked good. They were skilled, but I couldn't tell. There's only one person I was like, oh yeah, she obviously didn't do that well. Her score's not gonna be great. And the rest, I was like, they look exactly the same. So, yeah, that's it. I hadn't really gotten to watch anymore.
All right. If you can go back and, you know, like you're 14 and 15, right? And you tell yourself, you know what? I think you could do this Olympic thing, and we'll redo your life, and you'll now train for this event at the Olympics. What would it be?
I probably
weightlifting. You know?
Yeah. No. I probably could have been a runner of some sort of track and field event. I've always had like long, strong legs. I was always really fast when I was young. So, I mean, I'm just stating the truth here, right? I have a short torso and long legs. Like, it's a thing that I have. So.
All right.
Yeah. And mostly I was always
long,
fast.
Strong, like, legs.
Mostly when just powerful Olympic-style legs, you know?
Yeah. I mean, am I naturally, like, do I have the natural whatever mix to allow me to train and go to the Olympics? I don't know, but that wasn't the question.
Yeah. Gina, if you go back and train yourself up, what do you think you have the smallest chance of doing?
Probably the 400 meter. I'd probably be pretty great at that. Really? With the proper training.
Oh, yeah?
You know?
Yeah. I'd have to do something like, you know,
And Adam and I are going to race the 400, and I'm going to beat him.
We decided that we're going to do a decathlon against each other.
I bet you can beat him.
I think I will.
I hate running. I've always hated running. Running is stupid. Like, I like the shorter races because
put that out there now, so you don't look so bad when we
quicker.
Report back.
They're done a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Gina would kill me in a distance run because I hate running for long. I'm not good at it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I hated it in high school. I hate it now. Thinking about it makes me hate it.
Yeah.
I'm going to chop my legs off. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to pick, like, an archery or something like that. I'm terrible. I'm not.
Why?
Because I can't run with the shit. I never liked running. I couldn't run. I wouldn't be able to do cross country out there.
That's true.
I do, like,
you could do like diving.
Nah, like that's boring.
Basketball, I would just
hate myself if I'm doing diving. And
Olympic
like,
basketball.
Look at you, an Olympian.
No,
it's like, not really. I'm diving.
Fencing.
That just seems boring. It seems hot too. You know, you got to wear that, all that stuff. So that's the Olympics right now. Usain Bolt still the fastest man in the world.
Which we knew.
That dude. Justin Gatlin. Justin Gatlin is 34 years old.
Oldest man in the world.
Yeah. He has gray hair on it. He's got a little grays up on the top. And that dude is the second fastest dude in the world.
And you don't, believe it.
No, I don't. Like, that dude is obviously juicing, man. They were in the little vignette before the thing, the final.
He's just fast.
Well, he was fast. Yeah, he's fast. But he was 30, right? And he finished what? He got a bronze. And then, you know, in the time since, as he says in his own words, I've just been getting faster. My times have improved. I'm like, man, it's not technique from age 30 to 34. Like, it just not, I don't believe it. It can't happen. It's like biologically impossible. So anyway, there you go. Second fast. I was rooting for him, USA and all that. But, yeah, Usain Bolt. Three straight Olympics. First time it's ever been done. Guy won the 100 meter dash. How about that Van Niekerk guy? 400 meter. Broke Michael Johnson's 17-year-old record. That was crazy. I think the 400, 200 and 400, probably my favorite races. The 100 meter thing is over in literally less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
The other ones, they're more interesting. They're longer. You can kind of see some stuff, a little drama in there. You know, but they're short enough that nobody cuts away. Like in the 1500 meter, like, all right, let's go see what somebody else is doing before we come back.
So what did you guys think of the result of the women's 400 meter?
Chick diving across the line. What was her name?
Did you see that? Shaunae Miller from Bahamas.
Yeah, you know,
she dove across the finish. And if you didn't know, that's allowed in track and field.
Because it's
But it's risky, so a lot of people don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think, the way it looked, she was getting really tired right at the end of the race. And that final push, she kind of started to get a grimace on her face, and she looked like she was running out of steam and maybe even in pain. And so then she dove, which almost looked like she was falling across the finish line.
I think she was stumbling and lunged. At first, I thought she fell.
Yeah. So I think there's mixed opinions on whether she was falling or she just dove, but a lot of people were upset that she did that because she won gold. She was neck and neck with the U.S.'s Allison
Felix,
and she beat her with her dive by a hair.
She's smarter. She won. Yeah. She was faster.
It's
by
funny.
A hair. She went in front.
You know, they say like when in baseball that never dive in the first, you just run through it.
Yeah.
But maybe you should dive. Turns out. Yeah, there you go. I think she was falling. And I think
she was partially falling, and she dove to keep her chance.
You know what? Like, if leaning forward gets you the win, then diving forward. Yeah, diving forward is just the logical extension of that. I don't care. You use any advantage.
I would imagine it's very hard to execute properly. I mean, you have like a fraction of a second, and if you do it too early, it's going to actually slow you down because you're going to miss a step or a half a step, right? And if you do it too late, then it's not going to do any good because you're going to be across.
Right.
And so, like,
then you're just on the floor.
I think it's a brave, yeah. And then you just look stupid. You still got silver, right? Whereas, like, look at that idiot diving. Got silver. I think it's a brave thing to do and ballsy, and it paid off for her.
Well,
good job.
I think it was less ballsy and more luck and fortunate, just a confluence of events happening perfectly. Like,
there may have been pure instinct at that point, you know,
go
and that works too.
Yeah, other people are like, oh, it's
yeah, because plus, like, has she ever done that before in any of her other races?
Right.
So it's not like, oh, there goes Shaunae again. She's always diving.
Mm-mm.
She pulled it out when she needed it.
Dive it up.
Long event.
So, yeah, I think my final opinion on it is I didn't think it was bad. She and Allison Felix were neck and neck, and so it's not like diving took her from being like in fourth place to winning gold. She was right there anyway, and it just gave her like the fraction of an inch she needed to put her over.
Yeah. I feel like the complaining goes a little bit to that what we just talked about with the swimming stuff. Like, it's a little bit too raw or too raucous for somebody to dive, and so
you
got to keep it, you know, proper looking and
right
and beautiful or something like that. I think it's
conservative,
which goes into something that we were talking about the fact that a lot of Olympic events are kind of whitewashed and there's not a real, like, real world sense. Like, people who excel at fencing would probably get destroyed in a real sword fight, you know, by somebody that's like a sword fighting master.
Yeah.
And Adam posted that link about the archery guy that can, like,
Lars.
Hit bullseyes while jumping and spinning and catching arrows and turn them back around.
Yeah,
and,
with like a regular bow and arrow, not the kind they use in archery with all the gizmos.
Yeah, you really got to watch him do it. And
you post a link to that video.
Yeah, I'll post a link to it. And all of it, like, I don't know exactly how he got started doing this because I didn't remember. I was mostly in awe of him doing the tricks. But basically the story is like this. He was reading about archery, and he was like, how is this possible? Because they said that they hold it on the outside, the right side of the bow, instead of the inside or the left side of the bow if you're right-handed. And he was like, that can't be possible. And he just read other manuscripts, ancient manuscripts, about archery and warfare, about how good they were, you know, like the things they would do. Like, this guy could shoot 3 arrows in 1.5 seconds. And he's like, what? So he'd try it, and then he got good at it, and he was able to do it. And he says, look, I'm just some guy. I'm just a researcher, right? Imagine an actual, you know, like, athlete of the time. They'd be even better. And, yeah. And, like, you know, he just kind of talks about some myths about archery, like having the quiver that was kind of a Hollywood invention, that's inefficient. And he kind of shows himself running through a forest trying to get something out of the quiver, and it's really not that efficient. And they have old pictures of archers holding bows.
But considering how good he got at it when he is just some dude, maybe archery is just not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Sounds like it's just kind of easy.
The best part about that video is he looks like a total goober. Like, he looks stupid.
Does.
He looks like a bumbling. Like, they're not clean, but they all work somehow. I'm surprised every time. I'm like, oh my gosh, the arrow didn't just drop to the ground.
Yeah, it doesn't look cool at all.
Yeah, he looks like Star Wars kid that is trying to do the tricks with the lightsaber and fell over.
That's totally true. He does look like Star Wars kid. But he's a better archer than those other guys because they're just standing there with everything, all the conditions perfect.
But that's what most of the Olympic events have become, is this whitewashed, like, sterile environment where you take out all factors except for the one exact thing they're trying to measure.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it a little boring sometimes.
Yeah, we got to see a little bit of that, I guess, change when they were doing diving this week, and it got really windy because there were, like, some storms in the area, and that threw off a lot of the divers, and except for a couple of the Americans who were saying they trained at outdoor pools, like, all year, or all the last couple of years, and so they were ready for it. He was like, we trained in windy conditions and whatever. So it wasn't that big of a deal. So that kind of thing, we got to see how it does actually affect people, which kind of is a dangerous time to see people put in the elements, because one guy, like, actually hit his foot on the board on the way down. I was like, God forbid someone get blown in, like, their head into the board or something like that. But that didn't happen, fortunately.
Yeah, you know, like, in one of the original Olympic Games, it was like that guy, Leonidas of Rhodes, the guy whose record was broken by Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Like, one of the events, he was a sprinter. Yeah. One of the events he competed in was wearing all the armor, like, you know, like Hippolyte armor, and then sprinting to the end of the stadium and then sprinting back. That's a pretty legit, what you call it, and it would depend on where they were holding the games. Like, I could totally do that. Like, you know, I think you said parkour. That would be a cool Olympic sport. That would be great. And they're like, all right, here we are in Tokyo in 2020. You just run through the streets, you know? Actually, and it's going to be full of traffic, so ready, go. And then that would throw some, you know, make it interesting there.
Yeah. I think that is one of the things that I like about cycling, is that it's one of the only events that's subject to
people knocking you over.
Where you are, you just deal with the roads. They don't really modify. They make the track, but they don't really modify the streets that much. And you can't account for the elements. And you have to be able to adjust and operate in real time.
Yeah, like decisions. People falling over and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the other thing on TV, aside from Olympic Games and Bob Costas, is and fucking Ryan Seacrest. God, every time he comes on, I immediately turn it off.
What is he on now?
He's like the official late night wrap up thing. It's awful.
Of the Olympics?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him.
Is the Night Of a show that we've been watching and we've recommended all of you watch. It's on HBO. It's a miniseries.
Yeah, really? It is.
Yeah. And like the whole thing is like a crime is committed, someone's put in jail and accused of this crime, and that's where the drama begins and continues. And it's
what's it called?
The Night Of.
I didn't hear you say it. Did you already say it?
Yeah.
It's like everybody's waiting to like, find out.
You've been watching the show.
I
thought you hadn't said it yet. I wasn't listening to you.
All right. So The Night Of is great. It's one of the latest, I guess, you know, shows, prestige shows to watch.
It's good. I wouldn't call it great.
But the thing about it was that, like, when they decided to make it, when it was being shopped around, one, it was a James Gandolfini thing. He was going to play the John Turturro guy, John Stone, guy with the eczema role. But one of the reasons that HBO initially turned it down was that they didn't like the fact, they're like, if it has to go to season two, then where does it go? You know, the British version, the season two wasn't so great. They turned it down. But FX was like, all right, we're totally going to take it. And they're like, fuck. HBO's like, shit. All right, never mind. We'll take it. But we got to do miniseries, though. And that kind of leads into this discussion or this article that was on Vulture. When they basically say we've just passed a golden age of drama and television. With shows like Mad Men, Sopranos, Breaking Bad. You want to throw that in there. The Shield. And now it's kind of like there's a lot of the same thing, and what else? What else is there? We've talked about this before, and I'm going to link to the old episode where we talked about the dramedies. The kind of like the what's his face? Comedian dude? Louis C.K.?
Yeah.
And they'll mention this off air, the Master of None that's mentioned in here. You said you like Master of None, right?
Yeah, I like it.
I just can't get past Aziz Ansari, man. The just dude's annoying.
Yeah. The show's pretty good, but he's really annoying.
Yeah. He gets less annoying. I was saying that he's less annoying than he is in Parks and Rec. And he seems to get less annoying as the season continues, even. Like, he drops.
He grows on you.
Ew.
Maybe he grows on you just a little bit more subdued and not, like, annoyingly stupid.
Yeah.
As it was.
Yeah.
At times.
So, yeah, we'll link to that episode, because I think in that one we had a pretty decent discussion about TV and things, and how we're kind of talking about, because what was that show with Will Arnett, the one where they're on in the beach?
Yeah, it's like one word.
Flaked.
Flaked.
I was like, cracked.
So they get into this, and this is pretty long, and I don't necessarily agree with everything they have in here, but everybody read it a little bit. What are your initial impressions about TV in general? Do you feel like there's too much, or that it's repeating itself too much, and you feel like you're kind of bored by all this greatness? It's a little bit of what we said before.
Well, I think, I don't know if I'd say bored by greatness, but it is hard to get dramas right, as they posit. Like they mention The Leftovers, and we've had kind of a hate relationship with that show, but we've kept watching it. I think it's kind of like what we were saying about the article about the Olympics and how humans can't stay amazed for a long time. You know, you can get amazed once, but you can't keep shocking me. You can't keep surprising me. The same thing with drama. Like, I can't stay
invested.
Yeah. Or like on the edge of suspense for that long. After a while, I'm just like, okay, I get it. It's just droning on and on. Where's a resolution or some kind of a change? You have to shake it up. So I think that makes it hard for writers to get that kind of thing right with a show. And I don't think that it's so much like there was a golden age of shows and now we're leaving it. there were crappy dramas at the same time that those really good ones existed.
Yeah, like, was it Rubicon?
Yeah, exactly. It was horrible.
Oh, okay. By the way, Rubicon, like, one of the guys in it is the main bad guy in the E-Corp CEO in Mr. Robot. He was the guy. He would eat his cereal and left the milk on his mouth, and that made me hate that dude.
You hated him. So, I think it's always been difficult, still is difficult, to make a really interesting drama and keep your attention, especially season after season. I think a miniseries is a good way to go.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm gonna
just wrap it up.
I've maintained this about comic books, that one of the big hindrances, you know, to like really keeping me involved in reading some comic books, because there have been some great comics, like even great superhero comics like Batman, Superman, your Spider-Man in there, but one of the things that always hits me is that it never ends. It's always more, and they kind of have to reset it. They do, like, these soft reboots or a retcon to kind of get it into a starting phase again, because the natural cycle of a story is beginning, middle, rise in action, end, right? Is it denouement?
Denouement.
Whatever. Fucking French. Why do you
guys
speak French? Why do you guys speak French? This is America. I'm voting for Trump. I'm a single issue voter, and I feel like we can you know, speak that in English, then that's fine. Trump can be my leader. You see what I'm saying? So like Batman's story, that's why everybody loves the beginning, the origins of Batman, right? Batman Begins is great. Even the first Batman, 1989, was good because it was kind of the middle of the thing. But all of them kind of in, you know, that they need an ending and they never get there. So then they kind of get drawn on and you're like, all right, well, what happens now? You know, superhero origin stories are great. Nothing happens in the middle because you can't just keep it going. That's not the interesting part. So it needs an ending. And that's why they just kind of hang there.
And if you're going to draw it out over several seasons, and I think the trick to making it more interesting is not to just lean on the drama. Like, The Sopranos was really funny.
Yeah.
It had a lot of funny moments in it, which surprised me when we finally caught up on that. Breaking Bad had a lot of funny or, like, preposterous moments in it. You're like, what the heck's going on? And then ones where they try to just really stay super dramatic, like The Leftovers, it gets ridiculous after a while, and it's hard to keep people with that.
And I even think, like, the Sopranos had even though it was kind of like, it was not quite Monster of the Week.
Soprano.
Even though it was not quite like Monster of the Week, each season kind of had like a big bad, like, this person's trying to get Tony.
A new conflict.
Yeah, it was always a different, because it was like following his life. So it was, you know, like, life has a progression. Like, you can see it. Now his kids are kids. Then they're a little bit older. Now they're, like, teenagers. And so there's the natural drama that happens in life. And you can see that. And it kind of went toward, there was, like, an ending point, because it was, like, a natural development. It wasn't the same show it was in the first season, 99. Breaking Bad also, it had the development. You know, it was, here's this plot of quirky idea. Like, look at this professor trying to be a drug dealer. You know, and the wacky shenanigans he gets into. It wasn't just like that, always. It was, now I got deeper, darker into some crazy shit. It wasn't so fun, or like weird, or, you know, like fish out of water kind of thing. It was like, what happened? It was a progression.
Right.
And that's good.
He changed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that hits the nail kind of on the head about, because the article is really talking about, it's talking about serialized dramas that have no, that are stories. It may have an arc, but there's no definition, there's no ending planned. And Breaking Bad was really exceptional. One of the reasons it was exceptional was because it had a complete arc from the very beginning. They knew where it was going to go, more or less, you know, and it had a defined, like, we're going to keep this to this many seasons, you know, even though they kind of fudged on that at the end, but it was always planned to be that. And I think the anthology dramas that have kind of arisen out of that as a response to say, okay, we can do these short sort of mini series on those things, and they're encapsulated. We can tell one story, and then the next season it's the same show. We can wipe the slate clean and go in a completely different direction, tell another story.
In light comic books, we have, like, I think in the early age of comic books, the quote-unquote golden age of comic books, there wasn't an expectation of continuous arc or continuous development. It was just, here's your weekly story of Batman. You know, this is what Batman gets into this week. And you read it, and you don't really expect, you know, there to be some deeper connection or deeper arc that's going on. I think that the serialized issue comes into play heavily when we say, well, we have to always be progressing. We have to keep developing it. And so one of two things happens. It becomes so different and so alienated from its original show that people lose interest, and it continues to spin it on because they're trying to make money. And starts to flounder because it doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't have a plan to end, or it stays exactly the same, and people start to complain that it's just the same thing every week, and there's nothing, and it's not going anywhere. And so they quit watching it, you know, like The Walking Dead, maybe.
Yeah, that's like that. I think you bring a good point up about comic books. It really was like that. It was like, these are like a nickel, right? They're like in a drugstore, make them big, make them loud, or they would just crank up. We need like three new superheroes. They're like, all right, this one has like super strength, and he's gonna fight some other guy. You know, they were just like throwaway stuff, things, throwaway stories, kind of reused characters, even straight swiping characters. They're a lot like the 30-minute, you know, sitcoms that this article mentions. You know, like of the golden age of TV. You know what I mean? You could always kind of pick up on I Love Lucy. There was like some big changes, you know, like they had a kid, but you can watch an episode, I mean, from the third season and the first season, and they're the same. Seinfeld's right. A little bit like that too. Like, I don't know what season I'm watching, and it doesn't really matter. They're all the same.
Yeah.
It's characters in a world, here's a funny story, done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until that, you know, some of the people that grew up were like, it's the nerdier people among us, even like George R. R. Martin. He read some of those and was kind of like, in issue one, you didn't really mention, he said he already threw away the gun, and now he has the gun now. What's it? He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car, right? Everybody remember? And so then they came in, they're like, yeah, these kind of should tie in together. And so they kind of put it, you know, kind of made the whole season tie up together. And that's a little bit like how the prestige dramas kind of came to be. I remember one of my favorite shows when I was a kid was Sliders. Anybody remember that one?
I remember that show. I never watched it much, but I know it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was this guy invents like a portal to another dimension, and you know, the people that are there with him fall into it, and he's trying to get back, right? It's kind of the whole deal. So they slide to the next one, and always in a search to go home, right? So that's kind of the gimmick. And you know, every world's a little bit different. Like, it's the same world, but now in this one, women have mustaches and men don't. And you know, just some are silly like that.
Wait, that's
other
this
one,
world.
Yeah, other ones are like crazier. Like, what if the Germans won, the Nazis won World War II? Or, you know what I mean? Or
yep.
I think one was Martin Luther King Jr. never got assassinated. There were no assassinations ever. But the problem was that they wanted to kind of make it one story. Like, so last week you saw them here, the next week you'd see them leaving there. But then the Fox was like, nah, man. Like, how would we syndicate this? It wouldn't work. We'd always have to put it in order. That's not going to happen. And this is the 90s. They're like, this is not how we make TV. So the TV where, like, last week episode mattered was pretty new, pretty, you know, pretty much a breakthrough.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's still ways to go with it. I like the way that Mr. Robot is playing with some of our expectations here and there. I really think it all comes down to there's quality stuff in every genre. There's quality comedies, and then there's shit, and then there's people just copying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's inevitable that there's going to be a peak and valley. Like, you'll have kind of an explosion of greatness, and then everybody wants to copy that for a while, and it kind of dissolves into this, like, nebulous mush of, like, what is this anymore? And then somebody else comes and puts it together in a new way. And that's what art is, really. It's like this experimentation period where nobody really knows what it is, and it's changing, and then a new kind of, like, establishment of this is what it looks like now. And this is the pinnacle of it. Like, you know, maybe Breaking Bad or maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that. And then it goes back down to, you know.
Yeah, it's like that in film. I like looking at film because that's one that's so new, relatively new. Unlike, like, novels or stories or things like that. The film, you know, it was like 120 years ago or something like that, that it started and, you know, you can see that exactly that. Like, it gobbled up older forms. Like, what short stories, what old myths could we get and churn out and, you know, put on film? And then in TV, kind of did the same thing. What short stories, what short films could we do? And they gobbled them up. And then all these new forms, like even 3D films or whatever, color. We keep trying to do the same thing. It happens over right. and over.
Yeah. It's ennui, right? Isn't that what that's called? Like, eating its own tail?
I think so. Yeah. Sure, man. But so it's not called ennui.
It's not called ennui. Ouroboros. It's the Ouroboros.
And ennui is what now?
Like, listlessness or dissatisfaction with everyday boredom of your life, kind of, that nothing's really happening.
Sweet. Well, I guess to wrap up this discussion, I think this ends kind of like saying, well, I mean, I guess you just go outside because TV's not good anymore. And, I mean, I think the thing is to just wait for the, you know, find a better way to appreciate the good dramas. I find it by waiting for some reviews to come in, to trickle in, when somebody says, this is good, this is pretty good, this is pretty good, and I hear that, you know, in a few different sources that I trust, and then I say, okay, I'll give it a shot. Yeah. And, like, when I, you know, I saw Flaked on Netflix, like, you know, and I was like, I don't even want to see that, I don't want to give that a shot, we'll see, I'll wait for the reviews to come in. How do you encounter TV shows, Gina?
You?
I heard this is good. Okay, we'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the advertisements will work for me.
Yeah.
But I'll wait until I hear some more buzz about it.
Yeah, well, like, Vinyl, right, on HBO. That came out. That just didn't really do it for me, the advertisements. I was like, I don't really want to watch this. And then I got I saw the reviews that said that it sucked, and so then I feel justified.
That's
like,
right.
Good. I didn't have to waste my time watching it, you know. Yeah. So yeah, you know, like we're social people. We're all humans, and we rely on recommendations and things like that. And I feel like that is the true value of a review, even though to other people that really just watch a lot of TV shows, giving them your review of it is kind of pointless. They're like, yeah, I know, I watch it, and I just disagree with you or something, you know? I feel like if you find somebody that you trust, that kind of gets your sense, you know? Like, basically, this seems enjoyable, and you're like, they kind of match up 80% of what I like, so there's an 80% chance that I'll like it, or maybe I'll just like 80% of it. Then you're good. And I think that's how you avoid watching some of these shows and like, oh, the second season was awful, now I feel like I hate everybody. That's just me. How you feel about that, Dale?
I don't know. I think it's okay. I even almost prefer, like, specifically what they were talking about, that the death of the long-form serial drama that just kind of goes on and on. Like, I really liked True Detective because the first season, because it was a one-season investment of time. And I got a full, complete story with closure. And then I can wait and see whether the next season is going to be as good a story or not. I don't have to get invested with it. I like the Sherlock shows on BBC for the same reason, because it's like three episodes, you know. And they come out every 16 years or whenever the director feels like making them. So I don't know. I kind of like it. Because otherwise, you just go on and on and on, and it becomes like a nostalgia thing that you're just watching it because it's familiar. And, you know, like Doctor Who became that for me. Like, it quit being really good or thought-provoking, and I was just kind of like watching it because, man, I've watched it for so long, I don't want to stop watching it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I stopped watching it. I'm like, man, I'm so glad I don't watch that anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, for a while, I hate-watched Walking Dead. It was kind of, everybody was watching it. It was on, so we watched it. But I literally, from the very beginning, hate watched it. And that became not even fun anymore. So then I just stopped, and I don't think I've missed it.
Yeah.
But other things like The Americans, that kind of is a long-running show. I heard a lot of good things about it. We jumped into it. We really liked it. And I think the world that it created is a good world. It's your kid talking. She has thoughts on it, I guess. Mm. The world that it created is a world I want to be in a lot, you know? It's not necessarily the plot moving forward, but just the whole spies living in America in the 80s. It's a fun world. Sweet. that's a fun world to be in, you know? But, like, maybe the world of True Detective Season 1 is not a fun world to be in. That's more
popular. Well, and, like you mentioned, The Americans, they also have, like, the Monster of the Week kind of thing. So there's that to keep you interested. There's something new each episode kind of going on, something they have to solve or take care of, a mission they have to go on.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, as long as you keep it in, and we're kind of repeating ourselves here, that as long as you keep it good, I think you can make anything good.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's easy to say. Yeah. Just keep it good, and it'll be good.
Yeah, no, that's like relative.
Why,
like,
don't the all writers all think of that?
Well, yeah, and I think you just don't cut corners. The best things have attention to detail and have, you know, something to say. You know, it's not just like, let's be gritty for the sake of being gritty. And maybe True Detective Season 2 was a little bit more like that than the first one was.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans is more like, how do you balance, like, family and work? And it's kind of these common things while also, you know, kind of keeping a secret. Yeah, they're spies, but that's not even the you know, the
there's
fun.
There's some comedy, there's some romance, like I said, not just trying to be.
It's kind of like a work, it's kind thing. Of a work drama if you want to just get the pieces and hold them together, you know? Like, they got a boss, they got to deal with their boss. It's easy to say, yeah, just make it good. But that's what I mean, it's like those good things. And that's why I like the ones that are like, we're going to be good too. Was it Low Winter Sun? That show looked like it sucked.
Low Winter Crap.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I was not interested in that. I think I watched part of one episode. It's like, nope.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I think it's fun for everybody to just kind of, like, search around and enjoy some of the weird experimental stuff that's happening. It's like metal to post-metal or to grunge to post-grunge to emo. Like, it happens, you know? Like, yeah. Somebody, like, comes along and it's like, this is the pinnacle of it, and then everything after that can't be as good as it, so it turns into, like, oh, what are we in? And it's not a real place, it's post whatever you just came from, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it's like when they try to do Swing again, you know, like, they brought it back. Like, a lot of that was, hey, this sounds like music that was good, or, like, music that we really like, or my parents really like, but it wasn't necessarily good enough itself. I think you got to move it forward, and I think there is a natural, like, you do so on your own, like, you know, in the, it's kind of the same way, like, if you try to honestly create comedy or art in general, some of it is, like, you learn by kind of mimicking, but you are your own person, and if you don't spend a lot of your time trying to mimic, then you just automatically create something new, don't you think, Gina? It's like, even though you're not your parents, or you're so much like your parents, you're not your mom and dad, just because you're your own person. But some people try to spend their whole time, you know, copying that. All they achieve is just doing a great copy, and they don't ever do that necessary breakout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's me. Gina, you had something for us here?
I picked a movie, finally, for this month. So, the movie I selected, which is on Netflix, is Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, the movie.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I can do that.
Y'all, guys, it's a parody. It was released this year in February.
Okay, good.
Produced by Funny or Die.
Okay.
Okay.
And Donald Trump is played by Johnny Depp.
So it's not legit. Okay.
Yes.
That makes me feel a lot better. So, it's like, I can't listen to that dude talk for a whole movie.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a parody on the book that he wrote by the same title.
Okay good. I can watch that.
And only like an hour long, so.
Sweet.
I think we can all watch it within the next week, and we'll do it next week.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, Brad, get on that.
Yeah, Bradley. I mean, he's moving cross country really so hard. I don't think so.
I know. What's the big deal?
Kid doesn't think so either. You know, yeah, you know what, like, I was trying to think? I don't know. The kid just reminded me again. This whole time, I've been trying to remember something about... Kid, I've been trying to remember something about the topic. I'm like, God, there's something funny I wanted to bring up. What is it? And, like, in the middle of a conversation, I, like, try to go through my internet history. No, I don't know what the fuck it was. And I think that's, again...
A joke lost forever.
That's, again, an example of me not sticking to my own advice that I recommended to Del very recently, that he should just write stuff down. But in my own defense here, I didn't have my phone or anything with me, and both Gene and I were thinking about it at the same time, and I thought that shared memory would kind of be enough to jot it down, but should have just jotted it down.
Your parents, man. Don't, you can't.
Like, oh, this phone, should remember for later. It was like yesterday, I swear. I was like, yeah, tomorrow. Or Sunday, it was like Sunday. I was like, yeah, tomorrow, we'll do it. Fuck. Anyway, I guess we're about done. How was your trip?
It was nice. Got to celebrate with Rhodes first birthday. He's totally into Spider-Man, like, all the way. It's awesome. And he doesn't even, like, he's never seen a Spider-Man cartoon. He watches unboxing of toys and people like playing with toys on YouTube. Like, that's what he does for, like, he loves to watch those videos. And I guess he's seen Spider-Man and the Green Goblin, because I got him this Lego set that has a Green Goblin, and it's got this little, like, board that he, like, flies around on.
Yeah.
And he immediately takes this Green Goblin out and puts him on the board, starts going flying him around, and he goes, ha 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 ha. I was like, he even knows that he, like, laughs. He's, like, crazy. Like, it was nuts. He knew he was a bad guy, and Spider-Man put him in jail. I was like, okay, he's either just, like, a savant about comic book characters, comic book heroes, or he's seen people playing with the Green Goblin.
That's unboxing. That's pretty cool.
It was fun. I didn't go to Denton at all. First time I've been in that area and hadn't gone there.
Sweet.
It was kind of nice, but got to see a
friend.
But
you are wearing a Denton t-shirt.
Oh, I am, yeah.
Oak Street Draft House. What is a CP?
And Cocktail Parlor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to rep it, man.
Yeah, anyway. Good people there. I'm going to be up there. I'm going to stop. I'm swinging by. I'm going to go up for the first UNT game of the season. At Tell home versus SMU.
A lot of stuff's changed, man. Haley's closed.
What?
Rubber Gloves closed.
What?
J&J's basement closed. Or closes at the end of this month.
The basement or the whole place?
The basement. Like, they don't do shit. Won't be doing shows down there anymore.
Why not? What happened? What was it?
The owner. Because it's becoming popular. Like, everything is blowing up in the downtown area and becoming.
Yeah.
And so the building owner decided it. He wants to convert that into something else.
Yeah. That's the way. I don't know. I on the one hand, about, like, gentrification and change, I mean, you can't really stop it. You know, nothing stays the same. Mm-hmm. And I think anytime you're trying to capture it or keep it the same way, that's unnatural. Because nothing is the same as it was 150 years ago. Denton is not the same town it was in 1876. You know, it's not the same town in 1989. It's not the same town in 2016. So I think it's easy to be like, oh, I want Denton to stay the same way for all the time.
Yeah, I don't mind it changing and growing and developing. I just don't want it to lose all its, like, it's such a musical place. I don't want it to lose all its music venues. And that seems to be what it's mostly, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that, like, I mean, I wonder if any of that will just kind of move elsewhere. Like, it would just be maybe the north part of Denton or something like that.
It probably will. Well, they said that what's been happening is this, like, outburst of house shows. Denton's always had a good house show scene, but it's even gotten more
robust.
Yeah. Yeah. Bigger deal. So, which is kind of cool in of itself, as long as the city lets that keep happening.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think there's a certain part of Denton should keep like the culture of the spirit there. And I think that's what you want to do. And the culture of the spirit of like being a local music, locally owned businesses, you can do that while changing the actual infrastructure of the place, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you don't need the same building that everybody was going to, but you still need a building for right. people to go to. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, man, it looks different. And I didn't graduate that long ago. Just like, I can imagine somebody graduate like in 1970 and then go back to like, what the hell's yeah. going on here?
I mean, I think even since I moved away, like, and gone back, like, it's... Everything's... Like, the places that everybody goes are completely different. The things to do are completely different, so...
Yeah. Well, then again, they're also kids, right? They're on their snappy chats.
Yeah, right. Catching Pokemon now.
Back in my day, we just used Twitter. ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Drange Penguin Podcast. Brought to you every week on the wings of angels, delivered swiftly by 400-meter sprinters who dive across the finish line. yeah, keep in touch with us. Send us an email, podcast@drangepenguin.com. We appreciate all the feedback that we get when we do get it. If you know any one of us, let us know. Say, hey, man, listen to your podcast, and I like the Leftover Season 2. You can tell us that. It's fine. Anything else, let us know. You can tweet at us, Deranged Penguin. All of us manage that Twitter account, but I don't think we're very active on it at all. I'm on Twitter. Del's not really on. You're not on Twitter.
I get Twitter notifications and I'm like, what is this? And I don't even look at it. So
Del didn't even say I was on Twitter. He's like, man, I used to be on I don't know, what was there?
The college Facebook. College Facebook or whatever it was, the alternative to Facebook before Facebook was available everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I liked Facebook when it was only available to college students.
Yeah.
Once my mom was able to follow me around on Facebook, that's when I got off. Also, yeah. That's when I got off MySpace, when my mom added me as a friend.
Parents ruin everything.
There you go.
Just remember that, Adam.
I mean, that's my job. I got to stick to it. If I don't ruin things, then I'll just be not doing my job. And then I'll be a failure as a parent. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, kids crying, and there's beach volleyball on TV, and I got to root for Brazil. All right. Bye.
Peace.